Wayne Mitchell podcast from Sonic1029.com.
Canadian accent.
I don't know what it is. Hey there. Canada. I like it in Canada.
That is Matt Healy of Manchester band The 1975 with his attempt at a Canadian accent. I'm always entertained by that. They join us for a special acoustic performance in this week's edition of the Lane Mitchell Show podcast. Thanks for downloading. You can follow me on Twitter at Laneroo, L-A-Y-N-E-R-O-O. Or, of course, we could be Facebook friends.
Lane Mitchell podcast from Sonic1029.com.
The 6th of May, 69th birthday of Bob Seger. I imagine the only night moves he's working on now is getting from the bedroom to the bathroom to squeeze out that tiny dribble of urine past his enormous prostate. And Ben Affleck has been reportedly banned from playing blackjack at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino. Sources claim he was caught counting cards. Which, I don't know if I believe that. Ben Affleck does not look smart enough to count. Sorry, Bob, would you mind finishing that after the update? Yeah, thanks. And a miracle of technology, summer is coming, which for a lot of us means sunglasses. You put them on, you take them off, you put them on, you take them off. Next thing you know, you can't find them. An eyewear company called Zucuri has created sunglasses that text you when you forget them somewhere. They cost about $350, though. And a new restaurant that delivers your food by parachute is set to open a branch in New York. Jaffel Shoots. It's a pop-up eatery which delivers their grilled cheese sandwiches to patrons standing in a landing zone marked by an X on the pavement. Just when you thought grilled cheese couldn't get any better, they add a parachute.
Lane Mitchell Podcast from Sonic1029.com.
What does Fred Durst have in common with Rob Zombie? Well, they're both hard rockers turned directors. It's not movies, though, for the Limp Bizkit frontman. It's commercials. More specifically, Fred Durst is directing the new eHarmony commercial. I read that, I was like, wait a minute, the guy who wrote the lyrics, "I did it all for the nookie," is advertising a dating site? Okay. And Monica Lewinsky was the subject of a tell-all interview in the latest issue of Vanity Fair. You know, too bad it didn't come out a week earlier, because then it would have been just in time for the last person to stop caring. Holy man, it was 16 years ago. I think even Hillary's let it go at this point. And a South African performance artist who tied a rooster to his penis during an impromptu show near the Eiffel Tower was found guilty of exhibitionism and asked to pay a $1,400 fine. Well, it's like they say, one day cock of the walk, next day a feather duster? Now that one doesn't make sense. The early bird gets the worm. No, why did the chicken cross the Eiffel? You know, I feel like one of these chicken expressions has to work somehow. But frankly, it's just not coming together for me.
The Lane Mitchell Show. It's Lane Mitchell. Podcast from Sonic1029.com.
Police in Vancouver arrested a mugger. A woman donning a Darth Vader mask. Yeah, she's been charged with weapons offenses. She was carrying a fake gun and robbery. Just imagine you've had too many drinks the night before. The mental fog is just starting to lift. You're awakened by police sirens. You draw the blinds and see police arresting Darth Vader. And Toronto Mayor Rob Ford says rehab is amazing and it won't be long before he's back to kick butt. His exact words, actually. Kick butt. Anyone else afraid he went to Fight Club instead of rehab? And a Florida woman has vowed to never eat Pop-Tarts again after sinking her teeth into a latex glove. To be fair, though, when your teeth hit latex, finding out you've bitten into a glove is really the best-case scenario. And despite increased safety protocols, workplaces seem to be getting more and more dangerous. The latest workplace woe, barista wrist. Or boista? It's a repetitive stress injury caused by working in coffee shops. I hate to be the guy to break it to you, but if you're unable to cope with the physical rigors of pouring coffee, your prospects aren't looking so hot.
It's Lane Mitchell, podcast from Sonic1029.com.
Neil Patrick Harris is naked on the cover of Rolling Stone, with just a top hat covering his privates. Good thing it was a top hat, not a toque or a helmet. That might cause some confusion. Although it would make for an interesting cover for Urology Today. Speaking of large helmets, Tommy Lee is apparently working on the new Smashing Pumpkins CD. I'm curious to hear that. And Kim Kardashian is speaking out against racism in her latest blog entry. She shares how she hopes her child can grow up in a world that's free of judgment based on color. It's weird, but I only partially agree with that. You should never judge anyone by the color of their skin. I was in Calgary the other day. I saw a brown Porsche. Yeah, brown sports car. That's practically bragging about how bad your taste is. And TV news, you'll never guess who the new host of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire will be. You'll be even more surprised to learn that you might actually care. Terry Crews. Yeah, former NFL star Terry Crews and current Brooklyn Nine-Nine star. That show with Andy Samberg, great one, by the way. Crews takes over this fall when the show returns for season 13.
The Lane Mitchell Show, podcast from Sonic1029.com.
Dr. Dre may sell Beats headphones to Apple for $3.2 billion. Still unclear whether or not that's the price for one pair or two. See, here's my problem with spending $300 on a pair of headphones. The speed of sound is 1130 feet per second. Divide that by the number of the lowest frequency you can hear in recorded music, about 40 hertz, you get the wavelength, 28 feet. You don't have at least 28 feet between the speaker and the nearest hard surface. The sound waves don't have adequate room to breathe. Physics negates the possibility of headphones ever sounding as good as speakers. And it was on this date in 1897, the odometer was invented. Which kind of makes me wonder what wives back then used to ignore when the car needed an oil change. Did they have a check engine candle? And if you don't make a lot of money, at least you have this. Higher earners have less sex. A survey revealed that just 4% of those earning more than $84,000 a year have sex every day. Compare that to 12% of the low-income earners. That said, nearly half of the high-income earners reported riding the old bicycle built for three, so to speak. The conclusion I drew from that was people who make a lot of money are just better at multitasking.
The Lane Mitchell Show podcast presents another live Sonic session performance.
Welcome, everyone, to Sonic 1029's Booster Juice Listener Lounge. Joining us this afternoon, a band playing tonight at the Starlight Room, a four-piece band out of Manchester. That's the 1975 right there.
Thank you. Half of us. Two of us.
Welcome to Canada.
Thank you. We've been here for 2 days, 3 days.
Your first trip to Canada?
No, we've been to Canada before. Like Canada. We've done, we just did Toronto and Vancouver last time we came.
Oh, that's not Canada.
No, exactly.
No, this is Canada.
Where were we yesterday? Revelstoke. We spent the whole day in Revelstoke.
It's a beautiful place,
it
right?
It was really, yeah.
Just say it. You can say it. We're not on the radio
We do. There's a lot of hustle and bustle being on tour, and there's not a lot of that in Revelstoke. So it was nice to just kind of walk around. We just went and sat at like a river and stuff. It was cool.
What do you think of our country so far?
Oh, it's, you know, everyone loves Canada. I think that like most of our mates from Manchester and stuff, if they move anywhere, they've moved over here. It's, you know, it's just a nice place. I think it's kind of similar to the British mentality, so.
Now, touring, I imagine there's quite a bit of difference touring, you know, a vast land like Canada compared to the UK where, you know, you can practically walk to the next day.
There's one road. You've got, like, one road. That is crazy.
Well, it's not full yet. We don't need another one.
It's amazing. I love that. It's so simple. Someone got lost on the way here onto one of our shows because there was two roads that they had to go on. I thought that was kind of cool. But, yeah.
Now, four EPs... before you release a full length, and then when you do, it debuts at number one, which anybody, any idiot can have a number one album. Yours beat out Nine Inch Nails' comeback album, though. That's freaking impressive, dude. You stole Trent Reznor's cheese.
It's not a competition, is it? I don't.
Because if it was, you'd win.
Well, yeah, but I don't think that, you know, I mean, people say that. It's like Trent Reznor from Nine Inch Nails was not sitting there going like, there's darn 1975 kids ruining my reputation as being one of the greatest producers of all time. You know, I don't think anyone saw that as like a middle finger to them. It was good for us, though, man. It was like, it was amazing. We never thought that was even possible. But the four EPs kind of made it happen.
Why'd you wait so long, though?
We didn't. We weren't like waiting. I think our laziness was kind of was perceived as like foresight eventually and patience when we were just mucking around waiting to get a record deal, and we didn't, so we did it ourselves.
Now, what is it about this album that you think everyone just latched onto? Because they really did. I mean, this album just...
I don't know. It's quite romantic. It was very romantic, really. It's, you know, people like the idealization of their adolescence and stuff like that. And we're a guitar band, and people like guitar bands, you know? We're not the Arctic Monkeys or anything like that. We're not like a guitar band. We sound more like, I don't know, Whitney than that. But we just... I don't know. I think people like brazen honesty and romance, and I think that album's kind of an ode to that.
Okay, well, what's the first song you guys are going to play for us?
Sex by the Look of Hans Pedalboard.
1975, everyone.
They know that. They already know that. Surfing back in my van, should make circuit when it's just hanging off your back. Say, use your hands in my spare time. One thing coin is this tie of mine, she said. She's got a boyfriend anyway. It's only minutes before I drop you off. Always seem to do is talk about sex. Got a boyfriend anyway. Got a boyfriend anyway. Love your friend when I saw his film. Funny face, but like that, cause he still looks cool. Just got a boyfriend anyway. Just got a boyfriend anyway. Now we're on the bed in my room. I'm about to finish his name. You say no. Say no. See, take care of you. How can I easily finish this when you say no? You say no. Outside of town, sure making your way down. Just got a boyfriend anyway. Just got a boyfriend anyway. I'm not trying to stop you, love. If we can't do anything, we might as well just fuck. Just got a boyfriend anyway. Got a boyfriend anyway. Got your tongue pierced anyway. You and your high top same day. All your skinny jeans anyway. You and your fit friends anyway. Take them all out any day. Then you'll go back curves anyway. Then you'll go boyfriends anyway.
The 1975 in the Sonic Listener Lounge, song Sex. I get the impression you're a much more tender lover than I am.
Yes.
That is a beautiful song.
Thank you.
That's probably the first time that's come up in an interview.
You'd be surprised.
Now, a lot of your music is adult in nature a little bit, like the lyrics. Mm-hmm.
But I'm like,
are you a bunch of perverts
child.
Like us? Or?
Yeah, a little bit.
is that just what inspires you?
I'm very, you know, I mean, everybody's innately driven by sex, blah, blah, blah. I think there's an obvious search for something. What that is, I've never really established. I think it's a search. I think I look for God in everything. I look for stimulation in everything. So I think I look for God slightly in women. I slightly pantheonize them. And so I don't have a misogynistic perspective of women at all. I'm just kind of obsessive. You know, I've got this song called Woman and stuff that's about a prostitute, and not about a prostitute she was, but I was really young and I kind of met her and I fell in love with her a little bit. The way the idea of her kind of utilizing her femininity, that idea really kind of I've always been obsessed with. That's why half the songs are about girls, but from different angles.
Now, the name, the 1975, I would guess your birth year, but you're 10 years younger than me, probably.
I'm 1989, I was born, represent.
Where did the name come from then?
The 1975 came from a book that I got given off someone when I was on holiday. He gave me loads of books. This artist that I met, and I just read loads of them, and one of them had been, you know, owned by someone else and kind of noted and treated almost like a diary. And they'd throughout it, it didn't really make any sense, but throughout it, they dated it 1st of June, the 1975. And it was always the 1975. And it was really odd. I never really understood it. And it just eventually stuck with me and became kind of the moniker of our band.
So, like, really, somebody could have given you George Orwell and you'd be 1984.
Well, it could have been something like that. I think it was in the back of On the Road or something equally idealistic and perfect for the sentiment of our band. But I can't really remember.
Now, you're playing tonight at the Starlight Room. I imagine when you guys walk around, for one thing, you probably get recognized a little bit,
mm-hmm.
right? But you also, I think, would get recognized as a rock band. You know, for even people who...
Are you guys a band? You've got to remember that you're not actually that famous, because if your band is doing well, then you should be on tour all the time. And if you're on tour all the time, it means you wake up at a venue, and that's where you're playing. So if you spend every day of your life in the proximity of somewhere that you're playing... then everyone's going to recognize you because you've told them to come there. So people spend every day getting recognized and they go, I'm really famous.
I'm very famous in this room.
You're just surrounded by your fans every day.
Like the secretary knows me.
In England, it's different, and the Philippines is different. The Philippines is like the Beatles. It's crazy.
I'm sure you get asked the question, what kind of music you play? Like rando off the street says, what kind of music
yeah.
you play? What do you tell them?
I don't know what to say. I mean, I really don't know what to say. We're kind of like, I normally say, oh, we're kind of like an 80s pop band. And they're like, oh, great, that sounds relevant.
I hope you captured that look, Rick, because that pretty much tells the tale right there.
I don't really know what to say. We've been called loads of things. I like guitar and B. That's my favorite so far.
Well, what's the next song you guys are going to play for us?
Chocolate, I think. Could I have more verb on both my vocal and my... Okay, cool. Stop smoking it.
black, head to toe. Gonna sit under our makeup. Never got quitting, we never got quitting, no. Now we're booting up, spinning, swimming, pushing the hill. And oh, my hair smells like chocolate. Never go quitting, or never go quitting. I think we better go. Serious, you better go. Say the fence, how you know. Serious, you better go. Oh, no. I think we better go. Say the fence, how you know. Say we back up and no. Serious, you better go.
The 1975 Chocolate. I've heard you describe that song in interviews as sort of a blueprint for the band. Can you explain that?
A blueprint is like a foundation.
Okay, thanks for coming.
I'm feeling really sassy today. I'm so really tired. I meant by that that it was one of the first songs that we wrote that we were like, fucking hell, like, we've written a song. And then it was kind of carried through the way it's structured. It's a very simple song. It's a very complex song, the way that it's built up. It's all like the ideas of syncopation. Like, obviously, a lot of people know about that, and a lot of people work around those ideas, but it's like a proper testament to that. Everything's got its own job rhythmically. So the drums are doing one thing, the bass is doing what the drums aren't, the guitars are doing what the bass isn't. It's all about interlocking and creating kind of like a textural pattern. And with that idea, we kind of carry that throughout our album.
Now, you guys have summer festival plans, I imagine?
Yeah, lots. Yeah, all over the place. Oh, fucking hell. What's been announced?
Or tell us the stuff that hasn't. That's cool.
Glastonbury, Reading and Leeds, Lollapalooza, we just done Coachella, Hangout Festival in Alabama, Governor's Ball in New York. We were going to be doing Oshaga.
Well, doing a lot of those big shows, I imagine you get an opportunity, or the privilege, I guess, to meet personal heroes. Mm. Is there anybody special that you've met that, you know, either we would know, or maybe it's somebody that we don't know that was kind of a personal
hero?
Yeah,
loads of people. Well, we didn't get to meet the Stones, but Mick Jagger was on the side of the stage for our set, which was pretty big deal. I met, we were in Florida not long ago, and this kind of Christ-like figure came over to me and, like, hugged me. And I was like, hello, and I recognised him, and it was Jared Leto. I'd never been a massive 30 Seconds to Mars fan, but that's partially to do with my lack of knowledge of it. But then I watched that film where he's a girl, and it was amazing. And I kind of wanted to be like his friend after that. I kind of wanted a friend who had won an Oscar.
Well, thank you again so much for being here. Can we squeeze you for one more song?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, okay. Despite your nose, 17 and a half years old, worrying about my brother finding out. Where's the fun in doing what you told? Say, yeah, oh, you're in a rest, I could persuade you. Night typical stone 18 year old. Night I'll make you. I know you get the salvation in the secular age. I'm not your savior. Press it to the ground. God help me now. Cause they're just girls breaking hearts. I sprite upside, just girls. She can't be what you need if she's 17. They're just girls. Just girls. Oh.
a pair of frozen hands to hold. She's a servant, so she feels the cold. One moment I was tearing off your blouse, now you're living in my house. What happened to you just messing around? I said, yo, think back, go. I can't take you. You just sit and get stoned with 30 rows. Think you've made it. Well, shouldn't you be fucking with some money at age instead of making changes? Arrested to the ground. Oh, God, help me now. Cause they're just girls breaking hearts. Eyes bright upside, just girls. She can't be what you need if she's 17. They're just girls. They're just girls.
Girls.
They're just girls.
Thanks.
The Lane Mitchell Show. Podcast. Yeah. Like what you're hearing? Check out the Garner Andrews Show to Go podcast at sonic1029.com.